When you think of rock stars in the Bible, you're going to first think of Moses. I mean, Moses is one of the folks in Scripture that in the very beginning was one of the, heroes of the Bible. When we teach our kids Bible stories, when we teach our kids these lessons, Moses is one of the big dogs. He's one of the big guys that we're going to teach about. Moses is a big deal. I mean, he's Moses. I mean, come on now, it's Moses. Moses lived an interesting life. Child of Israelites as they were in slavery and captivity. Mother, to save his life, put him in the basket, pushed him down the river. The Nile River, not the Bogachitta. The Bogachitta, he wouldn't have went very far because it's not very deep. He made it to the princess. She raised him as his own. He got angry as he grew up and eventually killed a man. And the thing we do with Scripture is we don't really pay attention sometimes. Because we'd all agree Moses is pretty awesome. Yeah, we'd all agree that Moses is awesome. He's Moses. But we also all got to agree Moses killed a dude. I mean, he got angry with someone and he killed them. Let's not pretend like it didn't happen. It's in the Bible. Okay? So here's Moses, one of the heroes of the faith. One of the guys that we say, yeah, that guy, that dude's awesome. And he's a murderer. Okay? It's in there. So he ran. He ran, rightfully so. He was scared. He ran. Went out in the desert for 40 years and wandered. There he was, herding sheep. One day out in the desert, he sees this thing. And he thinks, gosh, it must be too hot. I'm seeing things. Because it looks to me like that bush is burning. But I got to be seeing things. Sure enough, the bush was burning. And in that moment, and in that time, God, in a radical way, entered into Moses' life. Unexpected. Unplanned. Unearned. God entered into Moses' life. My favorite guy in the Bible outside of Jesus is Elijah. Love Elijah. Elijah is my favorite guy in Scripture. I love him because, man, he does some awesome stuff for God. Man, he will face down the prophets of Baal and look them in the eye and say, come on, you want a piece of me? You want a piece of me? And he would look them down. He'd win. He was standing for God. And, man, he would be faithful. And God would show out. And fire would come from heaven. And it would be awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I love that. Man, I want that faith that's so on fire for God. That faith that's so amazing. That things happen. I don't want to be passive in life. I want stuff to happen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just waste life. I want things to happen. Elijah was that guy. Man, he would be so faithful and stuff would happen. Like, yes. And then right at that moment of victory, Jezebel said, and by tomorrow you're going to be dead. And Elijah ran. So he had this great moment of victory. I'm like, yes, that's my boy. Has this great moment of victory. And then literally within 24 hours, he runs like a scared dog. And I love Elijah because that's me. Because I will have moments where I'm faithful. Man, I'll have moments where I behave. I'll have moments where I do right. And I'll say, yeah, God, I'm doing my best. And then a second later, I'll mess up. I'll fall on my face. I'll make a fool of myself. I'll embarrass my God, my church, and my mama. So Elijah runs. And he winds up in this cave. And in this cave, a whirlwind passes by and God's not in it. And a firestorm passes by and God's not in it. And a thunderstorm comes and God's not in it. And finally, while Elijah's is outside in the cave, the Lord God comes to him and the voice of a still, small whisper. And in that moment and in that place, God enters into Elijah's life in a way that was unplanned. In a way that was unexpected. In a way that was unearned. Because we've already established how Elijah was running from God and running from Jezebel. God radically entered into his life in an unexplained way. The thing about Bible characters is they weren't always Bible characters. I mean, we make them Bible characters. We make them perfect. We make them awesome. Bible characters were real folks. Bible characters were flesh and bone, just like me and you. They were normal people that God radically entered into their life in amazing ways. And so tonight, as we celebrate Christmas Eve, as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, some of the central characters in this story are the shepherds. And you know, when we do Christmas plays like we did here at church a week or so ago, we do the shepherds. And the shepherds are always cute. They're sweet. They're great. We love shepherds. Except that's not really who shepherds are. Shepherds are smelly because they stay outside without showers and coffee makers. So I'll be a terrible shepherd because I like showers and coffee makers. They sleep under the stars. They sleep amongst their sheep, because if you remember when Jesus talked about the good shepherd, he said he laid down among the sheep to protect them. So shepherds laid with their sheep to protect them. Shepherds placed themselves among their sheep to protect them. Shepherds, you wouldn't want to sit by them in church or set them behind them in Walmart. In Jesus' day, shepherds were actually outcast. There's a reason why they were out at night. Shepherds were outcasts. No one wanted their child to become a shepherd. No one wanted to be a shepherd. In our world, they're cute and cuddly in Christmas plays. But in Jesus' day, that's not what shepherds were. Shepherds were outcasts. They were left behind. They were left out. They weren't very worthy. So tonight, in Luke chapter 2, it says this. In that same region, there were shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as had been told to them. There the shepherds were, minding their business, guarding their sheep, doing their job, living their normal lives, doing their normal things, just being faithful. And God shows up. God shows up uninvited, uncalled, and unearned. God shows up in their life in that moment, in that place, and they had done nothing to earn God showing up. They hadn't stayed in a Holiday Inn Express the night before. They hadn't taken a shower. They were simply shepherds in the midst of their normal life, and God showed up. And God entered into their life in an unexplained, unimaginable, undeserved way. God entered in, and that is Emmanuel, God with us. God entering into our lives, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing. God entering into our life as we are at this moment. Undeserved, unearned, because that is what God does. The shepherds didn't have to clean themselves up to get God to show up. The shepherds didn't have to stop being shepherds for God to show up. God just showed up because that's what God does. And so with Moses, we see this holy ground of the burning bush. With Elijah, we see this holy ground of the cave where God enters in. With the shepherds, we see this holy ground where they're shepherding. If that's a word. And the angels, the heavens are fire with angels, and they see the glory of God all around them. And we see that holy ground where God showed up. There are holy places in life. See, if I was a lesser man, I would make a joke about the grove right now, but I'm not going to do that because it's Christmas. You're welcome. I've been to some of these holy places. We've actually been to the spot, the traditional spot where this happened. Holly snuck some dirt back home for a friend of hers. Don't ask me to explain that to you. This holy place where God showed up. This is the miracle of Christmas to me. Emmanuel, God with us. What God did in Christmas was this. He gave us his son who would one day die for us, would be resurrected for us, and through the Holy Spirit would live within us. God, in this moment, entered into the world so that God, through Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection, could not just enter into the world, but could enter into our lives. On Christmas Day, there were holy places. There was that holy field where the angel showed up. There was the holy manger where the Christ child was laid. There was the holy shepherds that came. There were these places that became holy because of God's presence. What Christmas does is this. In your life, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter what's happening in your life, there's not a moment that is unholy. Because God has entered in. Emmanuel, God with us. You don't have to make God love you. You don't have to earn his love or his approval or anything. You don't have to invoke him. He simply is here because of Christmas. In Christmas, God entered into our world. God entered into this place. God entered into his creation to save his creation, to become part of his creation, to be with us. God is now with us every day of our life, every moment of our existence, every second we breathe his air, Emmanuel. And so while this place here in church is holy because God's worshiped, Walmart's just as holy. Because God's with you. While this church is holy because God's worshiped, your work on Tuesday is equally as holy because Emmanuel, God, is with us. While this place is holy because God's worshiped here, Highway 42, when you're driving to work, is holy because Emmanuel, God, is with us. The miracle of Christmas is not just that God is here, but it's that God is here. God is with you every second of your life, every moment you breathe, every instant of your life, Emmanuel, God with us. Our God is not a God of place. I mean, there are holy places in the world. There are. But the holiest place in the entire world, this spot right here, where God enters in. Emmanuel, God with us. Moses didn't do anything to deserve God showing up in the burning bush. He just did. Elijah didn't do anything to earn God whispering to him in the cave. God just showed up. The shepherds didn't earn the heavenly course of angels coming. They just showed up. God just shows up. There's not a moment in your life that is not sacred. There's not a person here tonight who is not sacred. There's not a person here tonight who is unloved or unworthy, no matter what, because Emmanuel, God with us, He came to enter into our world. He came to enter into our lives. He came to enter to our existence. And He comes to us tonight. Yes, this is a holy night because we celebrate. Next Tuesday at 7:45 at night, we'll be equally holy, because this is a random time that I picked out. I don't know what's happening then. I'm assuming if Ole Miss is playing sports, they're going to get beat. But it's holy because of Emmanuel. Tomorrow morning, when you're opening up presents and trying to find your youngins underneath a cloud of paper, it's a holy time. You know why? Emmanuel, God with us. When you go to the doctor in a few weeks, months, years, and you're waiting to hear back from the test results that you're dreading, you know what? It's a holy time. Because Emmanuel, God is with us. When you and your spouse are about ready to claw each other's eyes out because you just can't stand being married to each other anymore, you know what? It's a holy time. Because Emmanuel, God is with us. When you are standing by the deathbed of the one that you love so dearly that you would gladly trade places with them at that moment, that is a holy time. You know why? Because Emmanuel, God is with us. There will not be a time in your life from this moment or out that is not holy. Because Emmanuel, God is with us. This is not holy. This is holy because of Emmanuel, God with us. Every second, every breath, every moment is a gift. Emmanuel. He entered into the world to save the world. He enters into our lives to give us life. May we know the holiness of God. And may we know the life found therein. Emmanuel, God is with us. What a holy moment. Let us pray.